reading a story the other day that there was a couple. This wife got up in the morning and she went into the bedroom and opened the curtains, and it was a beautiful day. And she walked over, and her husband was still in bed sleeping. So she went over and shook him and said, "Dear, it's time to get up." And he kind of groaned a little bit and said, "I don't want to get up." And she said, "Well, dear, it's such a beautiful day. You need to get up, and it's a lovely day to see." He grumbled some more and says, "I'm not going to get up. I'm going to stay in bed and sleep." And she said, "But dear, it's Sunday, and you and I always go to church together." And he says, "Well, God will still love me if I don't go to church today, so I'm not going." And the wife says, "Well, dear, you just have to get up, and so we can go to church together." And he says, "Give me one good reason why I should get up and go to church." "Dear, you're the pastor." We live in a society that's filled with fear. Some of us are fearful of spiders. I have a grandson. He's 16. He's almost 6 feet tall. He can bench press 300 pounds, and he's fearful of spiders. I'm fearful of snakes. Our lovely administrative assistant, Raquel, has a pet snake. And I've requested that she leave her pet snake at home. I'm fearful. Some of us are fearful of dogs. Some of us are fearful of other animals. Some of us are afraid of flying. Although watching all of the airports being so full, you wonder who's fearful of flying. Some of us are fearful of ill health, of loss of loved ones, loss of job, not enough money to get by on. Some of us are fearful of poor health and safety of our family and so on. All kinds of fears that we face. Each one of us is different, but we face fear. In a list that I've looked at, there's been a number of lists. Different people make lists. And the number one fear is death. Death is the one... one of the only things we know is for certain. And yet the uncertainty of it is what only truly terrifies us. We just don't understand death. Now, of course, as Christians, we're promised eternal life. And so hopefully we don't fear death as others might fear it. But what is the beginning of death? This morning, I've taken my message and I've sort of divided into three acts. The first one is the beginning of death. The second one is the antidote for death. And then the third one is, what does the resurrection of Christ mean to us? Death began in the Garden of Eden. God created Adam and Eve and put them into a perfect garden, a perfect state. And in that garden, there were trees, fruit trees, that they could eat from. And in the book of Genesis, we know that two trees are named. There's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then there's the tree of life. Now, God said to them in Genesis 2, "But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." And then in chapter 3, God said it again. "But God did say, you must not eat from fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it, or you will die." Satan comes along, and he tempts Eve, and Eve turns to her husband. And he tempts Eve to eat of this fruit. And Eve said, "Well, God said if we eat of it, we'll die." And the devil said, Satan said, "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to a woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So they partake of this fruit, and as a result of it, death came into the garden. Death came into the garden through sin, because the disobedience of Adam and Eve was sin to God. And as a result of that sin, death enters. Now, God knew that they were in trouble because he didn't want them to eat of the tree of life and live forever in sin. So he banished them from the garden. Genesis 3:23, so the Lord God banished him from the garden of Eden to work the ground for which he had been taken. Now, there's two ways to die in life. There's spiritual death and there's physical death. We know that Adam did not die physically right away. He lived another 850 years. But spiritually, he died, both he and his wife Eve. And spiritually dying means a separation from God. God wants us to be connected to him. And he created Adam and Eve to be connected to him in a perfect state. But they broke that state, and they died spiritually in the garden, and God had to take them out of the garden for that reason. Now, if we go into the book of the New Testament, Paul writes these words in Romans 5, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned. No one can get away from dying. We're all destined to die. Now we can die spiritually, or we will all die physically. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. And this is what we want to look at this morning. What's the antidote for sin and death? If you go to John chapter 11, this is a story of Jesus and his disciples and the story of Lazarus. Jesus and his disciples have received word that Lazarus, their friend, is sick. Now, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were good friends of Jesus. Jesus had other friends other than his disciples. And these three were good friends of Jesus. So they reached out to Jesus when Lazarus gets sick. And this Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who had poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. So Jesus said to his disciples, Lazarus is sick and he will soon be asleep, meaning that he will be dead. One of the disciples said, well, if he's sleeping, we can go and just wake him up. And Jesus said, no, he's going to be dead. He's dying. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, and so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And Jesus tells his disciples that Lazarus had fallen asleep, which meant that he had died. Now, his disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. We can wake him up. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. And on his arrival at their home, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Martha went out to meet Jesus. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? We need to understand something about this. Jesus has already brought three different people from the dead, or two and three, talking about Lazarus. He brought back to life the widow's son, who was dead. He brought back to life Jairus' daughter, who was dead. And in this situation, he brings back Lazarus from the dead. Now, there's a difference between being risen from the dead and the resurrection. Risen from the dead simply means that they came back to life, lived for a period of time, and then died again. The resurrection that Jesus talks about is that I will be resurrected, and I will be risen, and I will live forever. And so the goal is that as Christians, we will see that resurrection in our lives, even though physically we will die. We come to the very foundation of the Christian faith, and that is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Now, Jesus died on a cross to save us from our sins. He shed his blood that we might be cleansed. We were saved, but the resurrection is the power of God for that salvation. There's lots of people who have died for other people. There were lots of people who had been crucified by the Romans. Down through the history of mankind, there's people have died for good causes. But no one has ever come back from the dead other than Jesus. It's the resurrection that gives credibility to who he was and to what he did. Now, no other religion has a leader who died and rose again. Only the Christian faith. And you can study that. I did some studying on the various religions. There's three major religions in the world. There's as many as 200 different religions in the world. But the three major religions are Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. And Christianity is the only religion that has a Savior who has been risen from the dead. No other religion has a leader who died and rose again. And again, we are reminded of the words that Jesus spoke, ego emi, I am. I am the resurrection and the life. And he connects the resurrection with life. Jesus one day is going to resurrect all of us. We look forward to that if we're Christians. If we've given our life to Jesus, if we've been saved by his blood, if we've confessed our sins, if we've repented of our sins, he will save us, and one day we will live forever. The way things are going in the world, it doesn't seem like it's going to be long before Jesus comes again, although I'm not dating the situation. I also believe in a rapture. I believe that the church will be raised up before the end times come. Now, there are four things that we can be sure of because of the resurrection. What does this mean to us today? There has to be some meaning to it. And if you've received Jesus as your Savior and he's in your life and you follow him and love him and care about him, it doesn't mean to say that you're perfect. None of us are perfect. That's why we need Jesus, because we aren't perfect. And he's willing to willing to forgive us if we confess our sins. But there are four things that we can be sure of because of the resurrection. First of all, we can be forgiven for our sins. I don't know about you, but I'm sure grateful for that. I'm sure grateful that I can go to the Lord and say, Lord, I blew it. Forgive me. And I'm grateful that the fact is that he does. And it doesn't matter whether that's past sin or present sin or future sin, God forgives through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1:13-14, we read, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. I can't emphasize that this morning. The fact is that if you have Jesus in your life, you've been forgiven. We all struggle with sin. We all struggle with failures. And each day as we look at the day, or each night as we look back at the day, as we say, Lord, I see that I made a mistake here, or I sinned here, or I failed here. Please forgive me. He's faithful and just to forgive. We read that in 1 John chapter 1. We are forgiven through the blood of Jesus on the cross. And this is validated through the power of the resurrection of Jesus. Secondly, we can live a meaningful life. The Apostle Paul writes in Corinthians, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." What you and I do for Jesus is not in vain. God recognizes it. Now, first of all, we can't be saved by our good works. We're saved by faith, by grace through faith. But we're saved to do good works. And the power of the resurrection of Jesus, the power of the resurrection of Christ, gives us the power to do what has to be done in our lives. When we serve Him through His power. And we need to be aware that our lives take on new meaning as we serve Jesus, because He is a Lord. And thirdly, we can live a powerful life. Paul again writes in Ephesians, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and in His incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms." It's interesting to note that when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, that the total power of God was involved in that. And one day when we die and we're resurrected, the total power of God would be involved in that resurrection in our lives. The thing that we have to understand is we do not even feel defeated, for we have the power of God in our lives. Are you struggling in your life today with certain things? Need to be aware that God is there. He loves you. He cares about you. He is aware of your struggle. He hasn't abandoned you. That's one of the things that I appreciate about being in Christ. The power of our resurrected Lord sees us through each day as we live for Him. And then the fourth thing is we can live an never-ending life, knowing the presence of God in our lives. 1 John 5 says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked Him for. The presence of God is important for us in our everyday lives. Are you struggling with things in your life? You need to be aware that the power of God is there to help you through it, to guide you, to give you wisdom and understanding, to give you love. One of the things that's hard to find these days in our society is genuine love. God gives genuine love. He cares about us, and He's willing to work in our lives. Now, because Jesus is the resurrection, we can have life in Him. And the results of this life means that no more death, the death that separates us from God. When you receive Jesus Christ into your life, you break that spiritual death and you're brought to a relationship with Him, even though physically we still have not died. One day we will die, and it's hard for us to understand that. None of us want to die, and yet I have to confess that at my age, I've been thinking a lot about death. I don't want to go through a painful death. Nobody wants to do that. But I'm looking forward to the day when I'll be with Jesus and be given a new body. I can hardly wait for that. With all the pain and suffering that I've gone through and a lot of you have gone through, a lot of you share with me and share with me your pain and your suffering. And let me encourage you to know that you're going to be given a new body. No more pain and sorrow and suffering. Praise God for that. Yet one day we will die physically unless we're caught up in a rapture, but this physical death is simply the doorway that we walk through to be with Jesus for eternity. Jesus' promise is that whoever believes in him will never die, never be separated from God, but will live eternally with him. What a challenge it is for each of us to be aware of this in our lives today. Again, I can't say this enough. God loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus lives for you. And one day he wants all of us to live with him in eternity. It may be sooner than we realize if he comes, but if he doesn't, we need to be aware that God is with us all through our lives and ever present in our lives. I ask the band to come forward at this time, please. So be encouraged by the fact is that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the one who gives life eternally. If you believe in me, I will give you life eternally. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for these words and these promises that you have given to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the resurrection and the life, and that through you we can have eternal life and live forever with you in glory. So, Lord, until that time comes, help us to be conscious of the fact is that we can be different people if we believe in Jesus, if we trust in Jesus, because Jesus was resurrected from the dead, that we can have power and forgiveness and have a meaningful life. So, Lord, as we go from this place, challenge us. Take our lives and use them in a very meaningful way. Help us to be aware of your presence always in all that we do and we say. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.